brought to you by the Ad Council.
ABC News. I'm Derek Dennis. The people of England now have a new king and queen.
Hip, hip.
King Charles and his wife Camilla crowned as they ascended the British throne in a coronation ceremony at Westminster Abbey this morning, a ceremony full of pomp and pageantry. The king's eldest son, Prince William, heir to the throne, the only royal to kneel before the king as he pledged an oath of loyalty.
I, William, Prince of Wales, pledge my loyalty to you, and faith and truth I will bear unto you, as your liege man of life and limb. So help me God.
Also on hand for the coronation, Prince Harry, without his wife Meghan Markle. He was seated in a third-row location as a civilian non-working member of the royal family, but he left immediately after and is headed back to the U.S. to attend his son Archie's birthday, happening on the same day as the coronation. I'm Derek Dennis, ABC News. Violence near the University of Iowa this morning. Police searching for a suspect after multiple victims were stabbed near campus. The university is encouraging students to be vigilant and avoid the area. One of California's largest counties paying out a big ransom to cyber thieves.
Cyber criminals locked up computers at the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department. Now the county confirms $1.1 million was paid to the hackers to unlock the computers. Insurance paid a large chunk of that ransom. The county says after negotiating with the hackers, the insurance company and the county agreed to pay to restore access. It says public safety was never at risk. The department used workarounds to access databases. An investigation into the cyber attack is now underway. Alex Stone, ABC News.
A big departure from the Biden administration. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky, one of the top officials during the COVID-19 pandemic, is stepping down. Walensky headed up the CDC since the beginning of the Biden administration. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW. Here's what's going on around the area. Going on now through May 31st, it's the Spring Bloom at the Green Bay Botanical Gardens that takes place 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily. Green Bay Blizzard Indoor Football Friday night, May 5th at the Resch Center. The Blizzard takes on the Massachusetts Pirates. That's at 6:05. Friday through Sunday, May 5th through the 7th at the Resch Expo, it's Jurassic Quest. Life like dinosaurs will roar all weekend long. Great for the family. On Saturday the 6th, stroll through De Pere and sip your favorite hard seltzer. That takes place 1 until 5 o'clock throughout the downtown area. And on Sunday, May 7th, the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra comes to the Widener Center, presented by the Green Bay Civic Music Association. That is at 3 p.m. If you have an event you'd like us to tell others about, we'd love to help you out. Email it to info@civicmedia.us. This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
ABC News. I'm Derek Dennis. The people of England now have a new king and queen.
Hip, hip.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Two American banks collapsed in the past week. As Eric Tegedoff reports, some consumers are considering alternatives like credit unions.
Troy Stang is head of the Go West Credit Union Association, which represents more than 300 credit unions in Oregon and five other states. He says tumult in the financial market historically generates interest in the local structure of credit unions.
Whether it was with the dot-com bust, whether it was with the activities that led up to the Great Recession, consumers at their kitchen tables started having these conversations more intentionally about who is it that we do our financial services with.
Silicon Valley Bank's collapse is the second largest bank collapse in U.S. history. To get depositors their money, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation has stepped in. Stang notes that National Share Insurance Fund, administered by the National Credit Union Administration, is the equivalent regulator for his institutions and is paid for by the credit union system. Stang says credit unions are not-for-profit and member-owned.
We're not accountable to Wall Street investors. We're not accountable to other forces outside of our membership. And so it's a much different model.
Stang says many of the credit unions in his association have spent the last week reassuring customers and noting differences in their institution structure from others. He adds a strong financial system is important for consumers, regardless of which institution they bank with. I'm Eric Tegedoff. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Smell that? That's the smell of carefully crafted coffee being poured into your cup with natural notes you can truly taste and freshness you can count on. The High Lift is the only standalone late-day coffee shop in Two Rivers, offering local bakery items with spacious lawn and outdoor seating. The High Lift takes time to weigh out their ingredients, so every sip is perfect. The High Lift, 1207 Madison Street in Two Rivers, and on Facebook.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
He's the gravedigger, Gilbert Brown.
Where can you go where it's always a standing room only? You ain't gonna find that in Chicago.
It's never personal, only politics.
You ain't gonna find that in Minnesota, standing room only, because you can go to the gumball machine, stick a quarter in there, I'll come pick it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
That's the way it is, man. We love football fans. Fans love us.
Weekdays 4 to 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Down an old dirt road in a town you wouldn't know. My pops picked the place up for $1,500 back in 1964.
What is up, Wisconsin? Welcome to Raised in Wisco on 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw, WAUK, back in the fishbowl with Danielle, Chairman Fresh off of the turkey field.
Yes.
How'd that go, Danielle?
It did not go well, because right now I would be eating turkey and bringing turkey bites to you guys. Did not go well for me at all.
It's been a tricky turkey season so far. It's been kind of crazy. I got out there with a youth hunter, and mm-hmm. we were covered in turkeys the second day. I mean, they flew out of the roost right to the decoys, and we and I had a brand new hunter, a 14-year-old young man, took his first shot at a giant tom and clean missed it.
Clean missed it? Oh, no.
Oh, that was... It was tough, but the beauty of it was that we had some Jake stick around, and he was able to put one in the bag. So I said, all right, now listen, this time when you take your shot, keep your eyes open. Because I watched him, and he closed his eyes right before he took
the shot. Were you preparing for that? The recoil of it.
Yeah, I think that that's maybe what happens. We did have him shoot the gun ahead of time, and sometimes I think that if you have somebody shoot the gun ahead of time, that makes them more nervous about it than if they just shot it the first time and never knew what...
Yeah, because now they're thinking about it.
Never knew what recoil... Yeah, mm-hmm. what recoil meant. Hey, I got something exciting to tell you. You know, our loyal listeners from Oconomowoc... Our loyalest listeners, the Kennedy clan from Oconomowoc, Robin Kennedy, the matriarch of the Kennedy clan, is literally in the studio with us.
Sitting right next to me.
I know, and I'm debating because she said, don't put me on the air. You've been on the air before,
yeah,
Robin.
You did such a good job.
Robin?
I have been on the air, but I've not talked turkey or hunting.
That's true. You don't have to talk turkey and hunting. Why are you guys such loyal listeners? Is your family like 5 out of the 7 listeners to this show?
Okay, do you want the honest answer or the...
I don't know.
I feel that's a dick.
If the honest answer doesn't make me feel good, honest answer.
All right. I'm going to tell you all the real answer. Because we are not a hunting family.
Wait a minute. What did you eat for dinner Monday, Robin? What did you eat for dinner? No, come on now. What did you eat for dinner, your family?
Oh, okay. Hold on. One of our family members, Aiden, is a hunter. He's hunting turkeys with you. But generally speaking, the Kennedy clan, we love to listen to this show to learn all the tricks and trades of hunting.
Yeah, okay, so you just kind of made my point. You said we are not a hunting family, but you ate turkey pot pie on Monday that your son, Aiden... harvested with me last fall.
Yeah.
And now what does that tell you? That tells you a non-hunting family, once you get somebody in that family out to the field for the first time and they get a chance to experience what it's like to be in Wisconsin's great outdoors and harvest something, they become a hunter.
Yes.
And so now you are a hunting family. Aiden, listen, if you're listening, Aiden, Robin told me she's going to get you a semi-automatic Benelli Super Black Eagle 2.
Ooh.
With a 28-inch barrel, 12-gauge, and all the chokes so that next season... I understand he has a birthday coming up, doesn't he?
He does. When is his birthday? July 17th.
July 17th is his birthday.
It's
so
my mama's birthday.
Aiden's a real hunter now. And I'm just saying, put the pressure on Aiden. Robin, great to see you. Great to have
awesome.
You here. It was great. We had we just grabbed some dinner down the road at the People's Park. They always do such a nice job. So
yes,
give a shout out to
them.
And Danielle, you guys have become fast friends. I feel like I'm not even part of the
course
club
anymore. We are, because we're super cool girls.
Yeah, okay.
Let's say we're hippies.
Robin is a hippie. Robin's kind of a hippie, and she admits it, too. Although, it's kind of weird, because Robin is a conservative hippie, and that's kind of an oxymoron, really, to be a conservative hippie. Isn't it?
No.
Hippies are lefties.
No.
Hippies are total lefties.
You can be on any part of the spectrum as a hippie.
I don't know.
Free
about
love.
That.
Free love, JK.
All I can say about that is cannot do the patchouli. It brings back, I don't know. What is patchouli made out of?
Patchouli.
Are you sure it wasn't designed by someone named Patrick and Julie and just called patchouli?
I don't know.
I don't even know the smell of patchouli.
You can't even say patchouli.
Don't hate me.
Danielle.
Patchouli.
Danielle, what happened in your turkey hunt?
My turkey hunt. I wore patchouli.
Well, turkeys don't smell very well, so if you did wear patchouli, that wouldn't probably matter to the turkeys.
That is definitely why I love bird hunting, because I don't have to be scent free.
Right.
But my turkey hunting consisted of me not dressing properly with the rain and snow. So I was freezing, and then it got super windy, and the spot that I was hunting turned out to be a morning spot, and I was more of an afternoon, evening person. Especially,
that just means you don't. You know what that means? That just means you don't like to get up early, Danielle.
It just means I was busy and I planned properly or poorly.
Bye,
not
Robin.
Properly.
Have a good
Bye,
night.
Bye, Robin.
See you later. Keep listening.
but. I also didn't go out Sunday either, so that there's that. But
did you see turkeys?
I saw. So I.
We're gonna.
I texted
all
you
your problems so that when your season E tag comes up, that we get you a turkey.
Because I cannot go a season without having a turkey. But so my situation is with decoys. I'm always the second guesser. When we go out duck hunting or goose hunting, I'm like, okay, I need to go change these up. I'm the person that gets up and changes every 5 minutes.
Changes the decoys?
Well, yeah, maybe.
While you're turkey hunting?
Yeah. Okay. Well, like I did
that
with the top.
Not,
because I second guess. Do not judge me, Joel.
That is not. But no.
Because
no,
I Google
listen,
things while I'm sitting there.
Do you know how
don't
many
look at me
times,
like that.
Okay. I have two things to say.
Google about decoys.
Travis,
leave me alone.
Put the mic in front of you if you want to talk.
I'm ready
over.
For digs. I got a shovel.
No.
I run a backhoe.
Here's the deal, though. I'm going to just tell you this. In
yes.
turkey hunting, the thing that kills turkeys more than decoys...
Don't you say patience.
More than calls is patience.
Oh, dear Lord.
And if you are getting out of your blind or off of the ground or off against the tree, you have no idea how many turkeys are looking at you.
I know.
And you're going to push them away from you. I am sorry. That's what I'm going to say about that. But the next part I was going to say is thank God...
What?
We have the expert in decoy placement on the show tonight.
We do. I'm so excited for this.
The expert. In fact, his name, his nickname in the field is Decoy Dave, because Decoy Dave honestly sometimes moves the decoys to the point that you just want to grab the guy and duct tape him to the blind.
Yep.
Dave Nelson. two-time state champion goose caller, the best turkey caller I've ever seen, pro staff for Jargon Game Calls, the Fowl Life, pro staff for the Fowl Life, pro staff for Provider Brands. I get to work with him on our stuff for the Outdoor Channel. Dave, is it freaking cool? Is it cool to be part of a national television show?
It's a dream.
It's awesome, isn't it?
It is.
It's really cool. The issue I have with Dave is straight up. Well, I mean, not
the issue. So you're saying there's only one?
It's not like a boyfriend girlfriend issue with Dave. My issue with Dave is literally envy, because I have never accompanied anybody who's that good at calling geese, ducks, or turkeys. He's got a literal God-given ability to do it. Nice. And in the field, it will elicit the response that you want. Now, I'm okay at turkey calling, and I'm mediocre at very best at goose and duck calling. And I can kill animals. I can kill birds when I'm out there. But Dave takes it to a whole new level. And then on top of that, he's a little...
anal?
Little?
I don't know if anal's the right word, or he's out of his mind when it comes to decoy placement. Mm. So I bet it drives him bonkers when he sets up a turkey decoy spread and they don't come running. But I also haven't seen him jump out and start changing turkey decoys around. Dave,
you say decoys like there's going to be multiple, because I've only ever put out two. Maybe three. But like in my head, you guys are talking about like when you go from goose decoys to turkey decoys, I'm thinking, you know, a dozen plus for turkey.
I like running, like three is my magic number. I'll run more than that, but
I think three is a magic number. I think an odd number is a magic number to me, and I don't know why, but I like to run odd numbers. But and I'll bring in the flock if something, you know, if you got to try to mix things up. But before we get past this, Travis Sobchak is with us too. One of the best goose callers that I know. One of the best goose hunters I know. One of the guys you want to talk about freezing your ever loving rear end off out in the field and staying out in the field. I think Travis's leg. One day were both frozen solid. He could barely walk.
It was hands.
It was your hands?
Yeah, you saved my life with those hand warmers at the end of that day.
Ooh. Well, I'm glad to know that I had some... that is what comes with being old, Travis.
Something like that.
You start doing all this preparation. I mean, it takes me an hour and a half the night before a hunt just to get my crap ready. No,
I believe
for real,
it
does.
There's a lot of things. I'm a layers person. I need my layers.
So, Travis, I want to know... from you and from Dave, what you think about Danielle jumping up and changing the decoys, and what you guys think is the best kind of turkey decoy spread. Because I'll chime in after and tell you how I like to run them, but what do you think?
Okay, wait, before you guys jump down my neck, my situation is when to put toms out and when not to put toms out. Because right now, it's the beginning, so I feel like they're going to be aggressive and they want to see a big...
It's week three.
Okay, we literally just passed week two. Okay, yeah, so now we're in mid. So we're the day after week three started. They're still aggressive. They're strutting. When I look out in the fields, I see three, four toms just strutting right next to each other.
So strutting till
in my head, I... want to put out that tom decoy because they're all grouped together. So yeah, I want to do that. But then when I texted you, you say take that tom decoy out. And I'm like, crap.
I didn't say take it out. I said I'd replace it with a Jake.
But that is taking it out.
So that's my experience. Is they always say tom decoys can chase the bird off or entice them, bring them in. That's why I always run a Jake.
See, that's, and we're going to disagree with Decoy luck. Dave on this.
I'll take it a minute.
Decoy Dave. So,
hey, have at it.
So, man.
Yeah, I don't.
You would, except for the fact that we're already running into a break.
All right, we'll pick up later here.
So we're going to get into this fight when he comes back, because Decoy Dave, I mean, it's in his name, but that doesn't mean he's 100% right. I'm just going to say
his natural born name, Decoy
Dave.
Although,
he put out Leroy, and Leroy is the name of...
Lyle.
I got the L right. We'll be right back. You're listening to WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman. We'll be right back.
Tomorrow. Democracy doesn't have to be boring. Founded by revolutionary German exiles in 1853,
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
He's the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown.
Where can you go where it's always a standard room only? You ain't gonna find that in Chicago.
It's never personal, only politics.
You ain't gonna find that in Minnesota, standing room only, because you can go to the gumball machine, stick a quarter in there, I'll come take it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
That's the way it is, man. We love football fans. Fans love us.
Weekdays 4 to 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies this afternoon with a chance for scattered showers. High temperatures reach up to 57. Winds out of the southeast, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies again. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms likely, 51. Chance for isolated storms again. Tomorrow, highs level off around 69. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Upper 50s. Monday, chance for scattered rain showers. On Tuesday, highs in the low 60s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 53.
5:40 a.m., Waukesha's only news talk station.
Blaming all on my roots, I showed up in boots and ruined your blind tie affair. The last one to know, the last one to show, I was the last one you thought you'd see there. And I saw the surprise.
Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host Joel Clayfish, sitting alongside Danielle Fairman. And we are talking turkey, literally and figuratively. And Danielle is not able right now to get back on the air because she's setting up some kind of fandangled contraption with a hairpiece on it. Is that, did you make something out of something you put in your hair? Is that a banana clip?
A banana clip?
It kind of looks like a banana clip, doesn't it? Oh, that's for a phone. All right. Well, I think she's sharing this on Facebook. So check us out on Facebook. Check us out on Spotify. Check us out where else, Danielle? Apple Music.
Apple
and Spotify. We got Dave Nelson, two-time state goose calling champion, goose calling hunter extraordinaire Travis Sobchak. Of course, Danielle Fairman joins me. But we went into the break talking about decoy setups for turkeys. We're right in the middle of the Wisconsin turkey season right now. I've been out on four hunts so far, killed four turkeys so far, which I think is pretty good to this point. Had one hunt in Florida and three back here in Wisconsin. Big turkeys. Dave, you and I were just on an incredible turkey hunt the other morning. Yep. I mean, could that have gone more textbook?
No, not at all. No, I mean, that was about as good as it gets.
I mean, we get there, and I think you were leery at first.
Oh, yeah, I was leery at first for sure because I was thinking, you were like, yeah, they were over there on that side of the field strutting yesterday, and I'm thinking, if you saw them over there, why are we
over here?
300 yards over here?
And I explained. And
you then, yeah, once we got in the blind, you clarified that you're pretty sure they were roosting right behind us, which they were. And then it was, yeah. Once
then
they gobbled,
you started
like, oh,
to realize the magic that is Joel Clayfish.
Yeah. And I was so confident that I put my chair away.
You did. You actually got off the chair. We jammed three of us into a blind with Julian Young, and all of a sudden they were gobbling like 100 yards behind us, right where we thought they were. Talk to me about decoy placement.
Okay.
Let's get into it now. Because so,
you can
I,
jump down my throat now.
You and I disagree.
We do.
I never put out the full strut Tom.
And I don't leave home without it.
Because I think it's a do or die, it's a do or die kind of thing, the full strut Tom.
Yeah. Yeah, I never leave home without it. I mean, if I could only bring one decoy, and there's a lot of times I've done that. I've ran one decoy, still hen calling, but I'll run one decoy and it'll be that strutter. 9 times out of 10, I'll run it with two hens. And then it's situational. So I'll always have it. But like in that hunt with Julian, you said there was 6 or 7 birds in this field, not very many hens. That is primo. Why would you not run a strutter and a couple hens?
Especially right now. I feel like they would want to fight right now.
Absolutely.
Come over there and take over.
They're supposed to be in fighting mode right now. Of course, turkeys will show you every day you hunt them that they decide,
mm-hmm.
not you. As soon as you think you've got them notched, that's when they will make you sit all day in the cold or the rain. And you, nature is entitled to get one back once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
And so my theory on it is they'll come into that Jake the same, won't they?
Yes and no. I think when it's a Jake, it's more of a fight. Like, Jakes are scrappy.
Sure, they're right? Faster than the Toms.
Well, yeah, I don't know what it is, but they're just little punks. Like, and I think there's some times where a big bird just is like, I really don't feel like dealing with that today. And when it's a strutter decoy, it turns into more of a, this is my home turf
like
kind of thing.
Like dominance type deal.
It's a dominance thing. Yeah, that's how I feel. And like I said, I'll never leave home without it. Now, I will also put it very close. I'll usually put it at 15
what do you
yards.
Call Leroy? Lyle.
Lyle.
Lyle. Yeah.
Lyle usually isn't
why
more than 15 yards.
Why is it named
Lyle?
Wait, that's your decoy's show. Name?
Yeah, yeah, I named him Lyle.
I thought this was a friend you guys were talking about.
Yeah, no, Lyle the decoy.
Yeah, yeah.
No, although I do think Dave has a bromance with Lyle more than he
Lyle.
Does with some actual people.
Yeah. I mean, Goose Hunting, we've got Killhole Cletus.
Killhole Cletus.
Cletus, yeah, he always goes right in the kill hole.
So how? Why is he named Lyle?
Lyle, so one of my wife's favorite reality shows was Party Down South.
No idea.
Never watched it?
No.
Well, there's a guy, his name was Lyle Boudreaux. This crazy little...
Did he have a southern, like a
oh yeah, he's from Louisiana.
Louisiana accent, Lyle
yep.
Boudreaux.
And every time they'd go to the bar and he'd start drinking, they'd call him Wild Lyle. And he'd start picking fights and stuff like that. So.
Oh, okay. Well, that's... There's actually a meaningful story.
Oh, so your wife named you decoy.
Yeah.
I like
there's
it.
Actually a meaningful story about
I like it.
Lyle Boudreaux. Is it Lyle Boudreaux?
No, just Lyle.
Just Lyle.
Just Lyle.
Yep, just Lyle.
And you have notches on the bottom of Lyle, I saw that. You put it with a Sharpie.
32
kills on it.
Hot dog. That's nice.
So, So Danielle, so we get set up.
We get set up.
We put Dave puts the decoy out, and I said, are you sure you want it this close? It was
nice.
Lyle. Full strut, giant decoy. Dave Smith decoy, I think. Yeah.
Yep.
So if you're wondering what we're talking about the Dave Smith full strut decoy with a real fan and real side wings.
Wings, yep.
Oh, wow.
It. Yeah, I mean, this thing looks dynamite. It looks like a real Tom strutting. And then we put an upright breeder hen ahead of him. Mm-hmm. But Dave had it like 15 feet, not yards, like 15 feet in front of the blind.
Yeah, and what you can get away with, like when you see turkeys in a field, I think the problem a lot of people have, even when they run a strutter or a Jake decoy and they run hens, they feel like they need to be able to shoot at whatever decoy is placed.
Right.
And when you run a strutter decoy and usually a Jake decoy, you could put that freaking hen 60 yards away. It won't matter. Hmm. He's not coming to that hen.
No.
Right, right.
So you can kind of disperse decoys a little bit more. Nothing's really too tight. Give them room to walk around.
The only thing I worry about in that case scenario is if you put a hen too far away and you got a hung up Tom who's henned up, if that hen comes in to fight, then all of a sudden he's going to be leery or she's not going to bring that Tom close enough to get a shot if that hen's out there. But usually he'll do circles around her anyway and get close enough anyway. So if that is your tactic, I think that will work too. When we get back, we're at the second break already.
I don't know how this happened so fast.
I know. We're going to talk about what happened on that hunt. We're going to talk advice for decoy setup on the turkey season. And we're going to talk about the fact that we're going now into the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth season, how that changes. And we're saving my man Travis Subcheck talk about geese and ducks, what they're doing now, and how watching them will make a difference this fall. We'll be right back on Raised in Wisco.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. A day of historic events is coming to a close in London now that the coronation of King Charles III is over.
I think for both the King and the Queen, it was wonderful for them to come in, and I expect they were very nervous. And to go through this ancient ceremony with its many different stages, which must to many people look almost extraordinary. And yet all of it's got this most wonderful story in it. And we've watched that, we've witnessed it, and the King is now anointed, crowned, and enthroned.
ABC News royal consultant Alistair Bruce, an officer of arms to the King on the first day of the new King and Queen's reign. A grand jury will look into the death of Jordan Neely, who died after being placed in a chokehold by a fellow New York subway rider last week. There are calls for Daniel Penny, the veteran who restrained Neely, to be charged. Another retailer is taking steps to stop its financial struggles. Christmas Tree Shops has filed for bankruptcy. This is ABC News.
Local radio for your community. Civic Media, broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Now we wait to hear from a Madison judge about the future of the legal case to overturn Wisconsin's abortion ban. There was a hearing yesterday on a motion to have the suit dismissed. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call says abortion needs to be legal here again.
To protect the safety and the health of women in Wisconsin, but also to make sure that our medical professionals are able to act when they need to protect the health and the safety of women in the state.
The case is expected to go all the way to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. A new study shows drinking went up in Wisconsin during the coronavirus pandemic. The highest increase happened in the first few months for people between 21 and 40. University of Wisconsin researchers blame stress and anxiety. In sports, the Bucks are in the market for a new head coach. They fired Mike Budenholzer yesterday. The Brewers are at San Francisco tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
He's the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown.
Where can you go where it's always a standard room only? You ain't gonna find that in Chicago.
It's never personal, only politics.
You ain't gonna find that in Minnesota, standing room only, because you can go to the gumball machine, stick a quarter in there, I'll come take it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
That's the way it is, man. We love football fans. Fans love us.
Weekdays 4 to 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Did you know your favorite shows and hosts are active on social media too? Find Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and be part of the conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
In-person and virtual services are available. Learn more at wellpointcare.org.
Is a burning thing.
Love is a burning
thing. And it makes a fiery ring.
Oh, man. Johnny Cash just makes me happy.
Bound
way more than Pink Floyd. I don't like Pink Floyd. Pink Floyd is so depressing.
That's what you were saying.
Pink Floyd reminds me of the first couple months of COVID. That's what Pink Floyd reminds me of.
Robin's yelling at you right now in her car.
That's okay. At least she's listening. So I know. Look, I know. I understand that we have a wide range of listeners to this show. We get lots of people who listen to us. You know, they run the gamut. People who hunt, people who fish, people who don't, people who love to use the great outdoors of the great state of Wisconsin. There's so much to do right now. What I mean, it was a glorious day today. By the way, we're sitting here at 217 Wisconsin Avenue. Come by the fishbowl and say, hey, if you'd like.
Do you memorize our phone number yet?
Why would you do that right on the air, embarrassing me like that? We're in it. When we grew up, Danielle, we had to like memorize our friends' phone numbers.
Yeah, you don't even know what that's like. I had a rotary phone.
Okay, what
was my phone number?
What's your parents' phone number?
My parents' phone number? 613.
Oh, you probably know that.
Yeah, it's. I know it, but I'm not going to say it on the air. I know everybody's phone number.
You know all your friends' phone numbers.
I also. Okay. My family. We were talking about my family.
Okay.
We even their husbands. Friends, I know numbers. My parents. I know everyone's license plate number because I'm weird.
Okay, that is weird. You know what?
We played that game a lot when we were driving.
An awesome thing I learned, though? When you order an Uber, it will tell you the license plate of the person picking you up. Check that before you get in.
Absolutely.
I mean.
And still check with the driver because they could have stolen that car.
Travis is going, yeah, well,
natural selection.
You're gonna mess with Travis. I'm not gonna mess with Travis. I mean, you know, if
Jake Decoy, Tom Decoy,
a free ride's a free ride.
Yeah, well, that's
like,
Can I say it?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Pause. Wait, I didn't mean it that way. I did not mean it that way. Pause.
That's how
Pause.
Danielle thinks. I'm sorry. I always tell everybody, I'm never worried about saying anything I shouldn't on the radio, but I do once in a while worry about Danielle saying something.
I want it. Yep.
So
we'll say it on commercial break on Instagram, because I'm Instagram live right now.
And you know, so I know this show is a little bit heavy on specific turkey talk, but
it's turkey season.
In all reality, we're in the middle of turkey season, and we're in the middle of what I like to think is one of the best ways and examples to get somebody who is a non-hunter into hunting.
Mm-hmm.
Turkey hunting is quintessentially one of the most exciting type of hunts you'll ever hunt. It's delicious meat to make in so many different. You can use a wild turkey the same way you use a store purchased domestic turkey when you cook with it. And when you're in the turkey woods, you never know what's going to happen. I mean, Chad Belding and those guys, they had a wolf come in on their, you know, on their decoys. Imagine that. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
I would love to see that.
So we're talking decoy setup. And the reason we're doing this is because if you got a tag or a leftover tag, and let's be clear, we just started week three. So the vast majority of people, especially because of leftover tags, have not hunted yet in the turkey season. So Dave, Decoy Dave Nelson, two-time state goose calling champion, tarpon fishing captain, and we haven't even really touched on that yet.
We haven't even touched it at all.
There's a lot of time for that. Just not today.
It's a whole other segment.
Turkey calling extraordinaire, pro staff of Jargon Game Calls, the provider life, and the fowl life.
Can I just call you guru?
He's like the
outdoor guru.
I'm a little embarrassed that somebody 15 years younger than me, I literally look up to when it comes to calling and his expertise in that area.
But you started in your 30s.
I started at age 38 was the first time I went hunting.
Yeah, so he has been doing this.
I met Dave.
Probably since you were in the womb, I'm assuming.
Well, my first year hunting is also the first year I met Joel. I would have been 13.
We met at what is now a subdivision.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it happens.
I'm assuming Pabst Farms.
No, it was across from the Piggly Wiggly in Oconomowoc.
Oh.
We met literally hunting. I was a brand new hunter, and we met at the field. We were both hunting. He was there with his dad, and that's the first time we met. And little did we know. I mean, our little Davey is all grown up now.
Wonderful.
He's married.
Aww.
He's responsible.
Sometimes.
You know, sometimes.
Well, his friend over here gets in cars with strangers, so.
Yeah, well, not strangers, but, you know, if they don't look like they're going to jack him on the way there, he's game for the ride, man. So we're talking decoys. Let's kind of put out some basic rules, according to Decoy Dave, for the next 3 weeks.
Yep. So, again, I wouldn't leave home without a Strutter decoy. prime example. This past weekend, I had a hunt with a buddy, ran a strutter decoy and two hens, and we had a tom that came. He was gobbling from 100 yards out, took his time to get to us, and at about 30 yards, he hung up. And another reason why I put the decoys close. Now, had this is just the way I think, but in the wild, the hens go to the toms. That's how it works. When the hen is ready to breed, she goes to the tom. So he'll gobble, and they'll set up strut zones midday and have areas where they will sit and just gobble.
The hens will go to the tom.
I always thought it was the opposite.
Nope. That's why it's so hard to kill them.
Huh.
So what I will do, that's another reason why I always run the strutter decoy, and this is a prime example. Huh. So this bird crested the hill, got up on top of the hill. He saw our decoys 100 yards away. I feel had I not had a strutter decoy out, he would have sat on that hill and gobbled and gobbled and strutted for 15, 20 minutes waiting for our two hen decoys to come to him. He would have lost interest. He would have left. Because we had a strutter decoy there, it ticked him off just enough to where he did not want to fight. That was one thing you saw really quick with that bird is he did not want to fight. It gobbled a ton. And when he got to about 30 yards, he felt like that's where he was comfortable because he didn't want to fight. And he thought he was going to get to 30 yards and strut and gobble, do his thing, and try to pull the hens.
Draw the hens to him.
Yep. And for that reason, he is now in shooting distance.
Yep. No doubt.
Now, the other reason I like to run and gun hunt, I don't mind blind hunting. I will do it. I'll kill them however you have to. But when I do run and gun hunt, the only decoy I will take is a strutter. Two reasons, again, for everything that I explained before. But the other is, and again, you have to be careful where you're doing this, but you can use it as a blind. So Julian and I, during his tag, did a little running and gunning deep back in some timber, struck a bird up. Let's see if we can get close. We got closer to him, got closer, never made a sound, never called. Got probably within 50 yards of this bird, maybe even closer. There was no cover. There was no tree to sit against. Sure, there was nothing. Sure. But I felt confident that the second we called, we were going to have that bird's interest, and he was probably going to come. And it was thick enough, and there were lanes to where if it went in that lane, he could shoot.
Sure.
So we sat shoulder to shoulder. He had his gun up. I held the decoy. The second I called, that bird gobbled. Now, that bird never saw us. He never saw the decoy. But again, you know, the hens go to the toms.
And I think whether it's actual cover or not, when those toms see a full strutter decoy, that's where their eyes are locked.
100%.
And they're going to be a lot more forgiving on your silhouette or the shape of your body.
Absolutely.
Especially if you're in decent camo and you're, you know, against a tree.
Yep.
You're going to look like that tree. And the banded camo looks phenomenal, the banded timbered camo. So take me through weeks 4, 5, 6 then. Do you change up your spread or
nothing?
You don't?
I don't change anything.
Even though they get they're less aggressive?
Oh, they're
in 4 or 5? Doesn't
that's a no.
When they're all henned up and everything?
Mm-mm. So the hens, once you get later in the year, what actually happens is they're henned up early and a lot of times late in the afternoon when they're feeding. So think of it just like geese. When it's time to eat, they all eat together. But midday from 9 o'clock till 4 or 5 o'clock, the hens are sitting on nests.
Yep.
So those toms are by themselves.
I'm telling you, I have killed more toms between the hours of 10 and 2 than ever on the edges of the day.
Yep. Yep. And there's a lot of people that won't wake up till 10 o'clock to go hunt. And I feel running a strutter decoy later in the year is more productive than in the early part of the year. The breeding cycle, everything is coming to an end. They're trying to find the last few hens that they can find to breed.
Huh.
Most of the hens are on nests. They're walking around midday. They hear you yelping. They come over the hill and they see 2, 3 hens and then a strutter decoy. They want to be the one to breed the hen.
See, in my experience, they just don't want to fight. They look at it the few times that I've had later season. They just look at it and they're like, nah. Then they turn around and go back the other way. Or they completely go over the knoll on the opposite side. Like, they just beeline me.
Well,
so that's why I feel like I don't want to, like, what, DF, ABCDEF, EF?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to do that at all, like, bring that out. But
yeah,
that's also
there's
you
totally
have more
different
turkeys
theories
than I do.
On it. There's very different theories on it. I tend to agree with Dave that the strength of a Jake or a Tom decoy grows through the season.
Mm-hmm.
However, there are times that it just plain doesn't. I mean,
I've had a few times where you think about it and it's like, man, if you didn't have that strut out, he probably would have came. It's probably a subdominant bird that really didn't want to fight. And I mean, that's just me personally now.
It has more to do with decoy shyness if they've been hunted in an area more so than what their patterns are naturally.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing, too, is they only live to be three.
I'm sorry, what? Three?
They only live to be three. So it's,
well,
you know,
a few of them live to be four.
But three, four. I mean, most of these turkeys that we kill.
Five, I thought. Well, I don't really look into it, just my head.
I mean, it depends on how hard winters are, but you're looking at 3 to 4 average. So most of the turkeys we kill are 2-year-olds.
Right.
They haven't seen much.
Yeah.
You know, they really haven't seen much. So they're going off just natural instinct. And I think they're like people. And what's really strange, and I've told you this story, but a buddy and I hunted when we tried reaping some turkeys, and it's where you hide behind the strutter decoy. It's very successful.
Like a scoot shoot.
Yeah, yep. We used this decoy to try to reap. There's three birds, and they never spooked. They never saw us, but they wanted nothing to do with it. Nothing at all. They stayed at about 50, 60 yards, progressively just walked away from us. The way that the terrain laid out, they got over this hill, and we knew because of a creek and a road that they weren't going to cross it. They had to pretty much do a big loop, and there was a hill on that side. We grabbed that decoy. We ran about 75 yards to the other side of this tree line where the field was, where we thought these birds were going to walk over. Put the decoy down, sat against a tree. By the time we sat down, we saw the birds crest the hill. They wanted nothing to do with that reaping. But 15 minutes later, they crest the hill. All three of them come running in and start beating the crap out of the decoy.
Yeah, that's the best.
Why? Yeah, but why? Why, you know, why 15 minutes before that decoy they wanted nothing to do with? Now, all of a sudden, boom.
That's, I'm going to tell you what. I think it's like, I've made this analogy before. It's like they're having cocktails, you know, and they're like, oh, who's that? Oh, who's that dude? Who's he doing over there? Mm-hmm. And his buddy's like, dude, just chill, bro. Don't worry about it. Have another drink. Don't worry about it. And then they get a couple more drinks in them, and they're like, bro, I'm going over there. And he's like, dude, just chill, relax. And then eventually they have enough drinks, and they want to get in a fight.
So I've got a very interesting one for you.
Exactly.
And I wish this would have been on film, but I reaped a turkey one time. There was a whole flock in a field. There was 5 or 6 toms, we'll say 5, and a whole group of hens. I start sneaking up, get within about 100 yards, and at that point, you could tell that something was going on in the flock. So all the toms were very upset with the fact that I was there.
Right.
But none of them wanted to come and be the one to confront me.
Right.
So I kept creeping a little bit. These 4 toms picked this one tom.
To go.
To go. And I mean, picked him.
Yeah.
I mean, they went and harassed him. He would go into strut.
You
go.
No.
I swear. I mean,
you go. No, you go.
They would all go into strut, and he would try to make his way back to the hens, and one or two of them would come and kind of not fight him, but just literally box him out to the point of where finally he's like, well, yeah, exactly. You almost kind of felt bad, but
yeah.
I didn't. He came. He did not want to. He did not want to, but he did.
Calvin is actually laughing. And Calvin, what do you think of this?
Sounds like a fun experience.
I've never seen that before. I've never seen that before, and it was interesting.
That would be cool to see on camera.
Yeah.
That is why patience kills turkeys, and I think the difference between your reaping on that one scenario you just talked about and the fact that you sat against the tree and they came was just somebody in them got it in them that they were going to fight. Do you ever notice it's also like drunken idiots?
They'll kind of jack themselves up.
Once one of them goes, then the rest of them are like, all right, we're going. We're all going.
Yep.
Then you have 16 toms dancing around your decoy, and you got to wait until one gets far enough away to shoot it. Turkey hunting, so great. When we come back, we're going to wrap it up and talk about what's going on in Wisconsin waters and woods in the spring that will help you become a better hunter in the fall with Travis Subcheck, Dave Nelson, Danielle, and me. We'll be right back.
Are record high energy and water costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited? Are record high energy and water costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive. While you may not ask for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to be without heat, water, or power. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.heat.help. That's www.heat.help.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies this afternoon with a chance for scattered showers. High temperatures reach up to 57. Winds out of the southeast, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies again. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms likely, 51. Chance for isolated storms again. Tomorrow, highs level off around 69. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Upper 50s. Monday, chance for scattered rain showers. On Tuesday, highs in the low 60s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 53.
Voice for News Talk Radio. Streaming 24-7 at waukradio.com.
But you have to reach a certain point.
Welcome back to Raising Wisco.
Whoa.
I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, sitting alongside Danielle Fairman.
Hi.
540 AM WAUK. Are you getting an education here today, Danielle?
I am. I feel like I should have left my time decoy out now. But also, thinking back, I did how you just taught me that the hens come to Tom. That's why I had three hens hens kept coming up by me, but no toms ever. They just kept coming up and then going back.
Yeah, that's when patience definitely plays a part of it, for sure. So,
I mean, I have patience if I know exactly what I'm doing. Because mine was I kept second guessing
myself.
Just
remember, once you make the commitment of the decoys and you're hidden, stick to that commitment. And the reason I say that is because there's 100-to-1 chance those birds are going to see you before you see them. And if you're getting out to move it, you're going to spook them. And they're not, people say, well, turkeys are dumb. Birds are dumb. They are not, they may not be intelligent, but they're one of the most incredibly instinctive animals I've ever seen. And instinct will win over intellect anytime when it comes to their protection. They can see like a mole, and they can hear also very well. I mean, the slightest little purr, they're hearing it from a quarter mile away. So I think we're going to move on from turkey hunting, because right now, to me, I know a lot of people who like to hunt and fish and get out in the outdoors of Wisconsin. Spring is, to them, the quintessential rebirth of our great state of Wisconsin. We get through this long, cold winter, and spring is coming. And what I don't think a lot of people realize is, like, now is the time to start paying attention if you're a waterfowl hunter. Travis Subcheck is joining us. He's one of the best callers that I know when it comes to goose calling. Travis, you and I have spent hours together in the blind. You've nearly frozen your legs or hands off while we've been out there.
Yeah, that was a fun day.
It was still fun. We still killed a few and laughed a lot. Everybody says, well, what if you go out there and you don't kill anything? I'm going to tell you what. Those goofy ab exercisers they advertise on the air where they, you know, send shockwaves into your abs.
Yep.
Better than that is going hunting with your buddies for waterfowl. Wouldn't you agree?
I laugh all. You know this. I laugh all the time, but I don't have a six pack though.
Yeah, I got one pack. The club. I got
me neither.
I got a one pack right there.
I have a quarter barrel. Does that count?
It does.
Travis, Well, I don't know if we should get into the story of how Danielle literally saved the lives of some goslings and a goose by stopping traffic on the freeway the other day.
Oh, sure did. Shut down a whole on-ramp on Watertown Plank Road to save two geese and three goslings.
Well, you saved them for me so I can get them in September.
No. I saved them for me so I can shoot them later on.
Were any of them banded?
No, not one of them. I looked.
Well,
and I was standing there with the sheriff.
Little bands.
I got super nervous because I told the sheriff, because it was turkey hunting. I was on my way to go turkey hunting. I'm like, you geese, if you're going to bite me, I got a gun in my car. It's unloaded for turkey hunting. Let me clarify.
For the cops, I'm sure. Travis, what do you think about how we watch geese and ducks? And right now, how does that affect, you think, the fall hunting season?
I mean, you got to look at the hatch. You know, we talked about it a little bit earlier. Around me, I'm not seeing much. But, you know, Dave said he saw a pretty good one. The hatch all depends on your season. I mean, that's the way I look at it.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the DNR gets their numbers every year and determines, like, how many you can kill, how many. That is something determined on a yearly basis. Every year we come up with that. And you've been at, you know, you're one of the more successful, you know, waterfowl hunters I know. What are some keys to employing tactics in the fall? What do you like? What do you like as far as decoy spread? What you like to see in the spring to turn into the fall?
What do you feel about silhouettes?
Silhouettes versus decoy, you know, versus full bodies.
He keeps giving me looks when I ask.
Everybody has, you know, one person may like this, you know, some person's, I'm only going to run silhouettes, or I'm only a full body person. I mean, every
day. What about the giant ones? Sorry, I have so many questions.
I mean, every day, one thing will work one day, but, you know, it won't work the next. So, I mean, you have to have, you know, an army of tools, I mean, if you want to call them. You know, I have a little bit of everything. But, I mean, I like my full buddies, and there's some days I like my silhouettes. But I just have more success over full bodies.
Yeah, I think everybody has more success over full bodies, but it sure is a pain in the rear to haul them out into the field compared to silhouettes.
And with scratches, what about scratches? Do you have to Sharpie in all of them or put the velvet back on? Are you like one of those people that have to have it all perfectly clean? You can't have scuffs on them.
It doesn't matter if I want to try to keep them clean. I mean, King Cletus, I mean, we were goose out one day, and this goose is falling out of the sky, and I look at Dave, he looks at me, he goes, "Oh no!" And boom.
Oh no!
Oh no! I'm watching this goose fall out of the sky, punctured a hole right through the top of my decoy. So I mean, it doesn't matter. You can try to keep them as neat as you can, but they're going to get damaged. But at the end of the day, it's meant to get.
You know how many
not used and abused, but it's going to get some wear.
No, use it. If you buy it, use it. That's one thing my wife always tells me that she cannot complain is that I actually use my equipment. I use the stuff I buy. It's a lot of expensive junk,
right?
But I use it. I will say this, though. I have decoys upon decoys that are like baby rattles if you pick them up. They're filled with shot, and that is nothing but marks of pride in my book, because that means I had something close enough to the decoys, and I'm putting an ethical, clean shot on it if it's on top of the decoys and filling my decoys with bird shot. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to calling, how important do you think calling actually is compared to a decoy setup or being on the X?
100% you need calling. I mean, whether it's you hunt migrators or, you know, late season. I mean, you were on that migrator hunt when we're plucking them out of the sky from way up, you know, way up top.
There's nothing better in the whole world, is there, than watching those things tornado spiral down?
Oh, yes. North Dakota, that was the greatest thing, seeing all those ducks fly over me like that.
I mean, that was
the only time I've ever experienced
that. I mean, the one day we're just literally standing there and just out of the sky, just dropping. We're all standing there. The goose is literally turning its head looking at us. Just
we were standing out shooting the baloney outside like a bunch of jamokes. And these birds are coming from, you know, they're literally a mile high, you know, and they just start coming down to the spread. That's when you know you've got a realistic looking decoy spread.
Mm-hmm.
And so which school of thought are you from that, you call loud, call frequently, and then as they get closer, you lighten up your calling and lighten up your calling? Or are you hammer harder as they get closer?
Well, it all depends. I mean, migrators, you know, you wail on them from when they're up top. You got to keep on them until they're down.
Yeah.
I mean,
That's what Mark Kakich says. Call them until they're dead.
True.
He says just keep calling and start being louder and louder. And I think a lot of guys, when it comes to turkey calling and goose calling, they'll say, okay, now stop. Now, with turkeys, if they're real close, I don't think calling helps because they can tell it's not coming from the decoys.
Mm-hmm. You got to learn how to read birds, too.
Yeah.
Read their reactions.
That is true. I told you it's the fastest hour in radio and the fastest hour of your life. We're already done. We'll see you next week. For Joel and Danielle, I'm Joel. For Joel and Danielle, I'm Joel.
Oh, hey,
Joel. We'll see you next week.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Your home, your property, your decision. At Weikert Realtors Lake...
Smell that? That's the smell of carefully crafted coffee being poured into your cup with natural notes you can truly taste and freshness you can count on. The High Lift is the only standalone late-day coffee shop in Two Rivers, offering local bakery items with spacious lawn and outdoor seating. The High Lift takes time to weigh out their ingredients, so every sip is... perfect. The High Lift, 1207 Madison Street in Two Rivers, and on Facebook.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
ABC News.